Mark chapter 10, we find Jesus saying these words. If there is one unwilling to receive the kingdom like a little child, then they will not be able to enter into it. And the childlikeness, the simplicity, the beautiful truth is that Jesus is all that we need. He is the all-sufficient one. But we find the example of two men in Mark chapter 10 after Jesus releases these words that give expression to most of what we find in the lives of men as they claim to follow after this one called the Christ. We find a rich young ruler who comes to Jesus, and he's wanting to ask Jesus, what is it that he can do in order to inherit eternal life? And this is the issue with most, is that we believe that it falls on our end, the work that needs to be done, that the accountability gets pushed across the table to you and to me to believe that there's something we're going to do to override what Jesus has done to make us worthy in the presence of the one who is worthy of it all. But what we find is that whatever really has our heart is what we will be unwilling to separate from. And Jesus says, go and get rid of all of your stuff and come back. And it says that this man leaves. And what I love about the text that you may not love is that Jesus does not chase him. Jesus is not trying to bargain some deal with him. Whoa, hold on, come back. Let's start with half of your stuff. Hold on, wait. I'm gonna make it more palatable for you. I'm gonna make it easier for you. I'm trying to build a brand. I'm trying to rally a crowd. I'm trying to gain influence. I don't wanna offend you, come back. He says this man walks. You see, because there is a price to be paid. There is a cost to coming after him. If your hunger is something that you're always going to bow out of whenever the first bit of resistance comes up against you, then I guarantee you, you will not be in this thing long. The next man that we find is a blind man sitting on the side of the road named Bartimaeus. And this guy's not in as good of a spot as the rich young ruler. He's broke. He's begging. He's blind. But it says that he hears that Jesus is passing by. He hears that Jesus, he can't see him because he's blind, but he hears the commotion in the crowd. And what he's hearing is enough to provoke and to stir his heart to respond. But what's interesting is that in the text, we find those closest to Jesus begin to criticize this man. When he begins to cry out, he's trying to get Jesus's attention because of where it is that he is currently placed in life. And those that seem to be closest to Jesus are the ones that are discouraging hunger when it's rising in the crowd. Those that are closest to Jesus, seemingly so because of their proximity in walking, are the ones that tell Bartimaeus, hey, that's not how we act. That's not the way that we're going to behave. I don't care what you've been through. It doesn't matter to me what you're going through. I don't care what your condition is. That's not the protocol for when Jesus is around. But what I love once again is that rather than inserting himself into the situation to rescue Bartimaeus, Jesus does not say a word. He doesn't say a word. You see, because sometimes Jesus wants to see what you're made of whenever a little bit of resistance comes up against you. You see, Jesus wants to see if you're really serious about coming after him, if you're really serious about chasing him down. He wants to see if you're just simply looking for an excuse so that you could bow out of the race the first chance that you get. And this is where Bartimaeus was, encountering resistance from those seeming to be closest to Jesus. Jesus doesn't say anything. You see, Jesus is silent in your situation, and you think that it's because he doesn't want to talk to you. No, he's just waiting to see what comes out of you because of what's been coming up against you. He's waiting to see what comes out of you because of all the hell that's been coming up against you, because all of the trial that's been rallied against you, because of every weapon from the pit of hell that the devil himself has set up against you to stop you dead in your tracks from chasing the one who has the answers for it all. And he says not a word. And Bartimaeus, recognizing that the all-sufficient one has arrived, says, "You don't have any idea what I've been through. You don't have any idea the things that I've gone through. You think your opinion of me is going to stop me? You think your criticism of me is going to shut me down? You think that you coming against me and trying to box me in and to control me is going to keep me from reaching out and pushing in and pressing past to get to the one that I'm really after?" And Bartimaeus says, "You thought that was bad." And he begins to cry out all the more. What has everything that has been coming against you done to you? Has it restricted your pursuit? Has it boxed you in? I'm telling you, if you're looking for an excuse, there are multiplied millions of them in order for you to remove yourself from the pursuit of this man. If what you're wanting is an easy road, this is not the one to be walking on. If what you're looking for is easy access and some sort of sky lift into the places and the things and what it is that you've always wanted, this is not the group to be included in. But I wonder if there's anyone that has realized he's everything we need. And whatever it is that I have to do to get from where I am to where he is, no matter how many days I have to keep pushing past, no matter how many days I have to keep leaning in, no matter how many times I have to, even as David did, encourage myself in the Lord when there's no one else around me that's going to cheerlead me, that's going to pamper me, that's going to push me, when it's just me all by myself and the things that I'm going through, who is it that I'm going to be in that moment? And Bartimaeus said, "I'm going to be known as one who's coming. I'm going to be one that's known as one who's coming." I tell you, he's waiting to see what you're made of. He's waiting to see what you're made of. He's waiting to see. He stands and he waits, and he's allowing everything that's going on to go on to see what it is that you are made of. But until we've realized the sufficiency of Jesus, we'll never be able to surrender to the supremacy of Jesus. And until I realize that it really is him that has everything that I need, I'll always take the easier route. Until I realize that it is him that has everything that my soul has been created for, I'll always buckle under the pressure and excuse it and exempt it and come up with a reason to tell you why it was okay for me to stop short. But I wonder who today would say within themselves, "Come hell or high water, I'm coming. Come hell or high water, because you don't know what I've been through. I know that there's one name under heaven that has been given by which men can be saved. I know that there's one name that at that name every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. So it doesn't matter if I'm blind or stricken with disease. It doesn't matter if some condition has overtaken my body, whether it's cancer, whether it's asthma, whether it's emphysema, whether it's blindness. All of those names bow to the name of Jesus. And I realize that there's healing in the name, so I'm coming. I realize that there's deliverance in the name, so I'm coming. I realize that there's satisfaction in the name, and so I'm coming. Nothing will stop me. Nothing will stop me. Nothing will stop me." Come on, I tell you right now to lift up your hands. Come on, I challenge you right now to lift up your hands. Whatever never stopped you in the past. I want you to look it in the face right now and say, you may have done it before.